You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA at lockedonbulls.com and college hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago and host of the 312 show on AM 1590 WCGO. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Our text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. Drop us a voicemail or text message. We're going to be doing mailbag tomorrow on top of some of our preview for this weekend's games. So drop us a voicemail or text message with any of your questions, any of your thoughts. We'd love to hear from you. 331-979-1369. All right, welcome back to Locked On Bulls. We have a surprise guest for all of you out there. Pej Vedotz, actor, TV actor, movie actor. He's got IMDb credits all over the place, from Family Guy to Arrested Development, from more famously Empire and Shameless. He's been all over the place, and he's a diehard Bulls fan, so we got to talk
Sneaky
to him.
Sneaky Pete, Bones. Dude, his resume is amazing.
I mean, the list goes on and on with Pej, and let's be honest here, Matt. I think out of any of the celebrities we've talked to, the people that are say that they're diehard Bulls fans, I think we can really peg Pej as a guy who's a diehard Bulls fan. So we talked to him about all different things that concern the Bulls. And then we got a little sneak peek inside of his acting career and what he's done so far, some of his favorite roles. It was really just an outstanding interview with Pej. So you can follow him on Twitter at Pej Vedotz, on Instagram, same place. See him on Empire and a bunch of other shows he's going to have coming out in early 2019, including The Village on NBC. So without further ado, here's Pej Vedotz.
Right now, we're very pleased to welcome to the Locked On Bulls podcast for the first time, Pej Vedotz. He is a film and TV actor known for his roles in shows such as Bones, Shameless, which is one of my personal favorites, a great Chicago TV show, Sneaky Pete, Empire, NCIS, and more. And of course, why is he on the show? He is a diehard Bulls fan. You can follow Pej on social media, Twitter and Instagram, both at Pej Vedotz. Pej, welcome to Locked On Bulls, man. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. So we want to talk to you a little bit about who Pej Vedotz Bulls fan is towards the back end of the show. But first and foremost, let's not bury the lead. Let's talk about this Bulls-Bucks game from last night. we saw on Monday night Zach LaVine get into a little bit of hot water, or at least have a point of contention with Fred Hoiberg when he opted to take a long three when the Bulls were down one trying to win the game on the last possession. Last night, we actually saw LaVine attack the basket instead, and the Bulls got closer to pulling out a win, but they still fell short. What's your take on Zach LaVine being the hero ball guy for this young Bulls team right now?
Well, I mean, I think he should be the guy with the ball in his hands when they're down in the last second. I mean, especially since you know, he's clearly their best player. I mean, that's without question. But also that he's 23, I think, right? 23 years old. Mm-hmm. And about to become, I think, a budding superstar. I mean, he's offensively, he looks unstoppable. I think defensively, he's got a lot of work to do, but he definitely puts the effort in, unlike Jabari, right? So he's got it, you know? So I think, yeah, give him the ball at the end, let him do what is his thing and let him learn from his mistakes. You know, one day he shoots, he shouldn't have shot that three, but now he's attacking the basket the next game. And he's not stubborn, you know? So he seems to learn from his mistakes.
Last night we saw the Bulls go and drop 40 points against the Bucks again for the second time this season in Milwaukee. It felt like we were playing deja vu here. Like we were reliving something that happened just a few weeks ago where the Bulls ended up twisting a 22-point lead and falling down over 18. So at least last night wasn't that way. From a Bulls perspective, Pej, this season, second year of the rebuild with all of the injuries going on, what's your kind of take on being a Bulls fan and how frustrating it is to sit here and watch these guys try and develop and then watch all the injuries happen, but at the same time, knowing that the pieces that the Bulls do have, if they do stay healthy and we stick with this for a couple years, it could result in a possible team that could be 5-10 years of worth watching. So how are you feeling right now as somebody, a diehard Bulls fan, having to watch this Bulls team rebuild?
Yeah, that's a great question because, you know, with them, it's so frustrating because in the beginning of the season, you're looking at this young team with a lot of potential that, and especially in the East that's weak, you're thinking, okay, you know what, we could sneak into the playoffs with these guys and, you know, with Dunn and Markkanen and LaVine, we could possibly become something. Now, then those injuries happen. Now you're thinking, okay, well, look at Duke. Let's get one of those guys, you know, next year. But then again, they are pretty close even without these other players. So what's going to happen when they come back? So what, we're going to win a couple of games and we're going to lose a lottery pick. It's so frustrating. And honestly, it all, to me, comes down to from the top down. And I think personally, it's time for Paxson and Foreman to go. Hoiberg to go, and let's start again, because I honestly think that there's some sort of, like, you know, black cloud over these guys after all these years, and it's time to just start fresh, you know.
I'm with you. I mean, I think it's at this point certainly more than 50% of the fan base who would love to see a turnover in the chairs of Paxson and Foreman, and I certainly don't blame you. So on that, really quickly, anytime we bring fellow fans onto the show, since this happened, we have to ask them, Pej, when that Fire Garpax billboard GoFundMe page was going around about a year ago, did you make a contribution?
No comment.
Fair enough. We don't want to get you in trouble with anybody. Hey, maybe your BFFs, people within the organization. But I still want
courtside seats, you know.
Well, hey, I don't blame you. If you have that window, then you don't want to close that window. Some of us don't have that window. So let's talk about Fred for a second, because I think Jordan and I are with you. We'd love to see some fresh faces as far as management goes. But with Fred Hoiberg, it seems like he's just been dealt a pretty raw hand since his arrival here in Chicago. Yeah. He got the tail end of the Jimmy and Joakim and Derek years that were kind of just an old falling apart team after taking over for Tibbs. Then the failed experiment of bringing Wade and Rondo in and all of the weird locker room stuff that happened between them and Jimmy and the young kids and the Bobby and Nico fight that he had to deal with last season. I feel like there are a lot of people that are Fred defenders saying, come on, look at what the guy's had to work with and look at what he's had to deal with and all the injuries and all the distractions. And there are some saying, I mean, end of day, I just don't see him as a great basketball coach. And look at the way he struggles with in-game adjustments and look at the way he struggles with coming out of timeouts with solid plays drawn up. And where do you fall on that spectrum of people who want to believe in Fred and feel like he's gotten shortchanged and the people who just really don't think he has what it takes to coach in the NBA?
I think the latter. I mean, unfortunately, maybe he has it down the line. I think you're right. He got dealt a raw hand. In fact, I think he was given a head coaching position way too early. I think he's got a lot of skills in development, obviously. Like, you know, Chris Dunn had a great year after a pretty bad rookie year in Minnesota. I think Bobby Portis, great year. LaVine looks like he's becoming something great. Those are developments and great things that he has. Maybe he's really good, talented at that. But it seems to me he doesn't have the people skills or, like, the command of a locker room or the respect of a locker room. Also, I don't know if I'm mistaken, but he lies a bit, doesn't he? Like, it seems like he's had some, like, mistruths with Joakim and then something with Jabari in the summer. He doesn't seem straightforward enough for me. And I also think that he's a little too young for this position, even though he's not that young. I just feel like he's not mature enough to be a head coach in the NBA. So I think players can see that. And these are millionaires you're trying to motivate. And, you know, that's why I love Tibbs. I know people don't love Tibbs, but I love Tibbs. I think that was ridiculous that he left or that they got rid of him. So I think, yeah, he got a raw deal. But at the same time, you know, maybe he should go assistant coach somewhere, learn under someone else, and then get another head coaching position. That's what I think.
This episode of Locked On Bulls is sponsored by Action Heat. Jordan, I know you and I are both thinking about our Secret Santas and all the people that we have to get gifts for this upcoming holiday season. And oh my gosh, I figured out what to get my mom with Action Heat. She's always cold. Action Heat makes the world's best battery heated clothing. Heat on demand at the touch of a button. You can control your environment with Action Heat. Action Heat clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heating panels similar to that of a heated car seat. Crazy. They can reach temperatures of up to 135 degrees and are powered by rechargeable 5-volt lithium ion batteries that last up to 12 hours on each charge. Action Heat batteries can also be used to recharge your phone or any other gadget while you're wearing them. As I said, perfect for any friend or family member on your holiday gift list. Great for anyone who works outdoors, skiers, snowboarders, anybody that loves the outdoors, and, like my mom, hates being cold. We've got a special deal for our Locked On Bulls listeners to save 20% off your entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/lockedon to check out everything Action Heat has to offer. That's actionheat.com/lockedon, or use the coupon code LOCKEDON at checkout to save 20%. Stay toasty warm while you enjoy all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat. And we thank them for sponsoring Locked On Bulls.
Yeah, it didn't help him, the fact that, you know, even when Tibbs was still here, there was talk about how Fred Hoiberg could be the next head coach, and basically was unofficially hired as head coach a year prior to him actually stepping into that role. And it's kind of, it kind of makes sense what you're saying, because think about the rest of the NBA and all the head coaches and some of the young ones that it took time for them to build respect. And while I think about guys like Eric Spoelstra, when he first got put into the role as head coach, everybody said, oh, he's just a puppet. He's just LeBron's puppet. He's there to fill a role. LeBron's really the head coach. And then they ended up learning a lot of gaining a lot of respect for him, and he ends up being one of the top five coaches in the NBA. Now I'm not saying that Fred Hoiberg is that guy at all, but then I look, you know, out west, I look at California, I look in Luke Walton's position, look how much he's struggling with that Lakers team, and LeBron's gone there, and there's been already some trouble. So you're definitely on the right path when you talk about, like, young coaches having to establish themselves early and also gain the respect of the players. And that's why I want to kind of shift to talking in the same light, the leadership here with the Bulls. It seems like that's a common theme in the lack of it. There's no leadership real in the locker room. And when the Bulls were struggling over the last 2 or 3 weeks, more specifically, the young guy in Wendell Carter Jr. decided to speak out and said, yeah, we're kind of missing that voice, that guy that can kind of rally the troops when we're down. We don't come together yet. We separate. So maybe making a parallel to your career path, when you're working on a set or on a show or on a movie and you've got some young actors in there, is there a one person that usually follows as a leader? Maybe it's the director of the show. And how can you kind of relate that to basketball and how a young team is trying to learn and work together for an ultimate goal? Do you see kind of parallels there? And what would make a show or a movie kind of break up and separate if something like that happened?
Yeah, I mean, generally, that's a great analogy, because when I was working on Sneaky Pete with Bryan Cranston, that's like the ultimate leader. There isn't anyone better than that, in my opinion. And he really made a show that no one really knew what was going to be. It had great actors, great writing, but still doesn't mean it's going to be fantastic. So when we all had issues, we would look to him. And I think when you have someone like that anchoring a team, I mean, that's the thing with the Bulls. LaVine is fantastic, but he also doesn't – he's not very vocal, right? And he still probably thinks, you know – yeah, I'm scoring 25 points a game, but I got to do this for an extended period of time before people, you know, really take notice. So he's got to do it for a whole season before maybe he feels comfortable enough to yell at Jabari to get back on defense. You know what I mean? So, and then you got, you know, everybody else. What are they, under 23? Everybody, all their stars are under 23 years old, I think.
Yeah, they have the second youngest team in the NBA. I think their average age is like 24 and a half. And you make sense. So I want to follow up really quickly. You talked about Brian Cranston. So do most people look for the person that's been around for a long time as to kind of go and coincide with a leader and kind of look to that person as a voice? And we kind of talked with other beat reporters who've been in the locker room with this Bulls team. And they said, you know, Robin Lopez and Justin Holiday, two of the oldest players on this team, do a pretty decent job individually with those guys, but they're kind of quiet, offstandish kind of guys. They're not the type of guy that you would go to and look for somebody to kind of bring everybody together and be that voice. So do more times than not, I think what our conversation is here is like, if you're this young and a young player is willing to step up and say something, like maybe the Bulls should fall in line and kind of embrace that young role. And does that ever happen in film where like somebody who's 18, 19, 20 years old, maybe this is their first or second gig, they kind of step up and are their voice and people will embrace that, or they kind of push that off to the side?
Yeah, I mean, generally pushed off to the side. I think it's like more of like, you've got to earn your stripes to say anything. And if you're that young and haven't done jack shit, oh wait, can we swear? Sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
This is podcast land, Patty. You can say whatever the hell you want.
Oh, okay, good. Thank God. If you're that young and you haven't done jack shit in the business, usually if you open your mouth, most people look at you like you're a douchebag and you should probably be quiet. And I think it's probably similar in sports, unless you're like D Rose and you're the MVP, right? But I mean, I think what the Bulls are missing, yeah, Robin Lopez and Holiday are older and veterans, but they're not stars. You know, we need someone, at least someone who's a legitimate player, who's a veteran player. I think that's what they should be looking for next year to help these young guys. And so they can actually look up to them. Like, you know, D Wade was wrong place, wrong time, but at least someone like that, maybe not that good, but someone of that, you know, veteranship or whatever, lack of a better term. So that LaVine, you know, can look at, Markkanen can look at, and then slowly develop into being. Who's their role models on this team? You know, I like Robin Lopez, but he's, you know, he's a backup at best. And Holiday is a rotational player at best, right? Even though he's playing out of his mind right now.
Yeah, up in that trade value. We're talking with Pej Vedat here on Locked On Bulls. He is an actor and a diehard Bulls fan. So as we're talking about leaders and who's playing what roles on this team, Pej, we want to get your take on the whole Jabari Parker homecoming. It has been a contentious point of conversation and debate here on our podcast and really among Bulls fans everywhere, people in favor of and against the idea of signing him to this big two-year deal with the team option on the back end, sort of a one-year experiment that we're going through right now. He did not really ingratiate and welcome himself to his hometown, going on a Chicago sports talk radio show first thing and saying, well, they're not paying me to play defense, and then really doubling down on that several times, both in his words and his actions. Also, after getting benched and, you know, putting himself in getting put into a reserve role multiple times, declining to speak to the media during preseason games and early regular season games. Now, over the last five or six games, we started to see the upside Jabari, the guy that did look at times in Milwaukee when he was healthy as a guy who can really be an offensive weapon in this league. You know, he's putting together some 20-point games, some double-doubles. He had another solid game last night. Where do you find yourself on the spectrum of, I didn't like the Jabari signing, but I'm starting to come around to it, or I was in favor of it and thought he just needed the right time, the right opportunity, and hey, look, it's starting to pay dividends?
I got to say, I was like, I guess just lack of knowledge of him. I knew of him and I watched him obviously against the Bulls. And I thought, you know, what a talent with those injuries, right? Especially that first one. He looked like he was about to take off into being a star. But then I guess when they signed him, I was kind of excited, you know, homecoming for him. Maybe he'll, you know, want to prove people wrong and all that other stuff. I wasn't aware of his disinterest in defense, to be honest. And after listening to you guys, especially you, Matt, with your take on him, I kind of agree with you. It seems like this guy doesn't give a shit about playing defense, which, you know, we don't need you to be Jimmy Butler defensively. That's not happening, right? But at least try. You know, he doesn't even try to play defense. That's my problem. Now, part of that to me is Hoiberg, because I just don't think this guy gives two shits what Hoiberg says there. And almost defiantly now, especially after he benched him, I think he's like, you know what? I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to play offense like I do. And he's really talented offensively, obviously, but he's kind of a one-on-one player, right? So I don't know if that's going to flow long-term with this team. But again, I will say this, like you said, the last few games, he looks pretty awesome. And I'm thinking, well, let's see what he's like with the other guys back. Once Dunn is back facilitating, once Markkanen's back and Portis is back, maybe Portis gets him playing more defense. I don't know. But I think another coach could get more effort out of him. That's what I think.
I think it is interesting to see how the guys respond to Fred Hoiberg. And, you know, we only get kind of a glimpse into how they're responding every single day. And that's just from when they play games and kind of their attitude and the way that they speak before and after practice and before and after games. And at times, mm-hmm. you know, you even saw it this week alone, like Zach LaVine waved off Fred Hoiberg's play call at the end. Fred trusted his guy and didn't call a timeout there, and it ended up not going the Bulls' way. I think that builds a little bit of trust, but at the same time, you know, Zach LaVine, even early this season, has said, you know, I don't understand some of those play calls at the end when he wasn't getting the ball. So it does seem like there's that disconnect that's happening with some of the players that are key role players and key guys on this team and Fred Hoiberg. So I'm interested to see how that kind of works itself out this year. Pej, I got to ask you, though, you know, the one person we haven't talked about yet on this show and probably the most important part of this rebuild for this Bulls team is Lauri Markkanen. How excited were mm-hmm. you when the Bulls got him? When the Bulls initially made the pick, were you excited about the pick? And now that you've seen a full year, his rookie year, and kind of this outstanding young budding star, what are your thoughts on Lauri Markkanen?
Well, I didn't know anything about him. I don't really follow college basketball unless it's someone like this Zion Williamson guy or
AJ Barrett. You know, him.
Those guys are so out there that I even know who they are, you know? So until they get to the league, I don't really know who they are generally. And when they traded Jimmy, I love Jimmy. So like, I was a little disappointed in that, but then seeing Markkanen and seeing, wow, this guy could be the next Dirk Nowitzki. It looks like even better, more athletic. I'm pretty excited. And then when he got injured again, I was like, this black cloud, I mean, it's crazy how unlucky they are lately with these injuries. But I'm excited. I read Casey Johnson's article a couple days ago, and he was talking about how he wasn't extending his arm shooting threes because he had so much pain in it. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, he was having pain in his elbow just from, he said, you know, he was even had to go back and watch his shot on film because he said in practice it felt okay, but he realized when he was going back and watching film that he wasn't fully extending and he was kind of bracing for that pain and he wanted to kind of make up for mm-hmm. that. And it seems like he's been totally fine now as of even yesterday. He said that he was through practice and felt 100%. There was no pain in shooting. So that's at least good to see. And maybe that's just some general soreness to a quote from Jimmy Butler. There is general soreness, but in his elbow. So I think there's nothing to worry about necessarily there. It would be more of a worry for me, at least if he went back into practice, came out of practice and said, yeah, you know what? It's starting to get a little stiff. I felt a little bit of pain. That's when I think I would have been worried, but now it seems like he's doing all right. So I think we're all good there. So you do like Markkanen.
When is he coming back?
I think what we're thinking is probably first week of December, like sometime between the Kings and the Pacers game.
What I've heard is potentially December 7th against OKC.
Oh man, that would be fantastic. I mean, I just want to see. I mean, again, I'm so like against Hoiberg. I hate to say it. I want to see these guys all on the court at the same time for a long period of time, but just someone else running it. I just can't stand it. I don't know. He just doesn't command any power for me. I keep going back to him, but yeah, I love Markkanen. I think he could be something real special. And especially now that they locked up LaVine, and it looks like they gave LaVine a good deal. Everyone was worried he was overpaid, but if he continues on this trajectory, and I follow him on Instagram, that guy works out like a maniac. Mm-hmm. So it looks like he takes his job very seriously. Not a lot of partying or anything like that. So we'll see. I mean, that's a pretty good duo. And then Chris Dunn is someone I think he's such an X factor. I think Chris Dunn could be either a fantastic point guard who doesn't look to score but plays defense and gets the ball to his other teammates, or he could just be, you know, average, you know, offensive injury plague player, which that would be terrible, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a big test for Dunn when he comes back this season to really prove himself as a vital piece of this rebuild, because he did show in spurts last season when he was healthy that he was starting to play really well, and we were all looking forward to what his second year in a Bulls uniform was going to have in store. And then, of course, just, you know, a really unfortunate additional setback with him. But just touching back on what you said about being happy with the LaVine contract, and I think you're right. I think there was plenty of skepticism among Bulls fans. You know, we heard from plenty of our listeners who were ready to let him walk and didn't want the Bulls to match the offer from Sacramento. And I certainly understood the people who felt that sentiment. And now it looks like with his scoring power and the fact that, hey, at least he's trying to do a little bit more on the defensive end, that will, down the road in years 2, 3, and 4 of that contract, look like a great value for the Bulls as far as LaVine. Looking forward in this Bulls rebuild, Pej, I want to know, are there any guys that, let's say in an ideal utopian world where the Bulls front office can actually land big name free agents? So, you know, we're not talking in reality here, but say, and let's say the 2019 or the 2020 free agent class. Of course, in 2019, you have big names like Klay Thompson, Kawhi, Kemba Walker, Jimmy's rolling around to another open market. And then, of course, the one big name that everybody in Chicago is talking about down the road, another kid who played his high school ball here, Anthony Davis, currently with the Pelicans and NOLA. If there's one impending free agent or soon-to-be impending free agent that you would say, I want that guy to come here and lead this young core and this young Bulls rebuild back to relevance, back to competitive playoff basketball, who would that one guy be for you?
I mean, fantasy land, honestly. I mean, reality, oh, God, that's a good question. Shit, I would say Anthony Davis. I think he's amazing. Mm-hmm. I think if we could get Anthony Davis to be the superstar and LaVine and Markkanen, oh, my God, that would be scary in the East, I think, with a good coach, obviously.
Right.
And maybe even maybe a little homecoming from my boy D Rose. That would be kind of sick.
You would want to see D Rose back?
Yes, I love him, and I teared up that 50-point night, man. I thought
it was pretty awesome. Back, yeah.
Oh my God, could you imagine? Oh, if he just stays healthy, that's the problem, obviously. But he looks good, man. I watched a little bit of last night's game. He looks real good against the Spurs too.
Honestly, like, he's got potential sixth man of the year stuff going on right now.
You know, at some point, I mean, they're rolling now that Jimmy's not there, but God, I don't understand why Teague starts. I don't get it, to be honest.
Yeah, that Timberwolves team is weird. And, like, Derrick Rose is doing – he's, like, almost turned it up a notch from what he was doing with the Knicks. Like, he kind of did that weird thing where he went MIA and then he got hurt at the end of the season. But when he was playing with the Knicks, he was still a productive point guard. So I'm interested to see how the rest of his season works out for the Timberwolves and see if there's any value on the market for him, because he's playing on a veteran minimum right now. And for a guy that's averaging almost 20 points a game, that's pretty crazy. Yeah. So I know a lot of Bulls fans feel the same sentiment you do, is that it would be cool to see Derrick Rose maybe in a year or two when this Bulls team is going towards competitiveness, that maybe they bring him back in as a backup point guard role. And I don't know if that's something Derrick's interested in doing or not, but believe me, there is a hundreds of thousands of Bulls fans that would love that too. Pej, I want to get...
Oh, man, that would be awesome.
I want to go to how your Bulls fandom started, because just doing some research on you, you're a Giants fan, you're a 49ers fan, and then you're a Bulls fan. How does that happen? Did you fall in love with Michael Jordan? What kind of started your Bulls fandom?
Yeah, so I grew up in the Bay Area in San Jose, California. And, you know, I mean, I came here. I was born in Iran, and my family moved here basically as soon as I was born, 3 months later. And I grew up in the Bay, so the Giants and the 49ers were immediate for me, you know. They were really good and they were fun to watch, and the Warriors weren't. I mean, flat out. And the Bulls had this guy who was just the greatest player of all time. So I became obsessed with Michael Jordan and the Bulls, consequently. But what happened was, I realized I was a bigger Bulls fan than Michael Jordan fan was when he left and went to DC and the Bulls would play Washington. I was rooting hard against him, and that's when I realized, like, oh my god, I love the red and black over Michael Jordan. So I was a real Bulls fan. And then when I moved to LA, I remember that first draft we got, what's his name, Heinrich, I think, with like the seventh pick, I think, something like that. And I was so pissed. Who the hell is this guy? Turns out he wasn't half bad, but it wasn't what I was wanted anyway. But yeah, so like I still get the NBA. I got the NBA package even then when I was broke, just to watch every game. I still don't miss a game. I'll watch it on replay or DVR it. I'm diehard. Like I can watch even this shitty basketball right now, and I look for something to, like, right now all I'm looking at is Wendell Carter Jr. How much can he, is he legit? You know, I watched a lot of that. That's how it gets me through this shitty time, you know. But you know, I'm definitely a real Bulls fan, for sure.
I love that.
And yeah, I'm not gonna jump bandwagons and just, I know the Warriors are awesome and all my family is like, when are you coming back? When are you going to jump back on this bandwagon? Or I've never been on their bandwagon.
Right,
You know, stop this bullshit with the Bulls. Even though they killed the Bulls like by 40 recently, I still get a ton of shit from my friends and family. But I can't. I mean, what am I going to do? I'm not just going to just start liking the Warriors. You know.
Pej, we have great respect for that on Locked On Bulls, because if you are a native of the Bay Area and didn't jump ship when they poured 92 points on the Bulls in a half earlier this season.
I mean, oh God, I was ignoring my phone like you wouldn't believe. That was embarrassing.
That is true fandom.
I've been in Chicago for the last year on and off. I've been working on Empire here. And I have to literally go into a restaurant or a bar and go, excuse me, can you put the Bulls game on? And they look at me like, are you fucking kidding me? Why? And I'm the only one watching it. It drives me nuts. I thought I'd have some sort of like camaraderie, but apparently people are still pissed. So I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, it's a team that's fallen on hard times. And I think right now, especially with the Bears being as good as they are, everything else in Chicago takes a second tier. I mean, if the Bulls are 5-15 and the Bears are 8-3, guess what? This is very much a football town.
Yeah.
And nobody cares that the Bulls are playing another game and losing by 20 again. So, I mean, like, we like to look back on the fond times here at Locked On Bulls occasionally. Like, we'll do this week of Bulls history as a segment sometimes. And
just, you know, we like to ask our fellow fans about some of their favorite moments from the glory days, because when you're stuck in the dog days of the present, the glory days is really all we have. So curious if you have a favorite moment of your Bulls fandom. Maybe it's just like a game that you vividly remember watching. Maybe it's a game you attended, whether it was here in Chicago or elsewhere when the Bulls were on a road trip. Favorite moment, or maybe two, that you have witnessed or watched as a lifelong Bulls fan?
I mean, the one thing that sticks in my mind, there's two actually, but I'll go with the obvious one is when Jordan went off in the finals with those three pointers. That was, I was a little kid, I was going nuts. And the shrug, you know,
the shoulder shrug.
Yeah. I mean, and now, I'll never
now
forget
any,
it.
And
it gave
me, now like half the league is doing that when they just like make two threes in a row. It's ridiculous.
Crazy, yeah. That was one. And then the other one, and it's so vivid, I know exactly where I was, is when Joakim Noah stole that ball against the Celtics and dunked that. Oh, my God.
The coast to coast against the Celtics in the playoffs. That was, that's an all timer.
I was screaming in my parents' living room, and my dad said, "Shut up." So, I love Joe. I think he was true. When it was D Rose, Joe, that was like, and young Jimmy Butler coming off the bench, who was still humble. It was nice.
You know, speaking of Joakim Noah really quick, the Bulls had changed up their promotions. I don't know if you remember this at all as being a Bulls fan, but you go to the United Center, if the Bulls score of 100 points, everybody got a free Big Mac. And, you know, Joakim Noah during that Bulls run in the early 2010s, he went and tried to chuck up a three-quarters court shot to try to win Bulls fans Big Macs. And that's, I'm bringing it up because they just changed their promotion to a Portillo's hot dog now if the opposing team misses two free throws in the fourth quarter. So I had to pay good homage to Joakim's shot there, because I just remember going back and listening to Joakim's quotes from it and Tom Thibodeau dragging him into his office and being like, never do that again. Like all of that stuff, just trying to win the fans Big Macs. And, you know, you got to, I think that encapsulates everything that Joakim Noah is about. And it's first and foremost about winning and about the fans.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's where my kind of my disdain or, you know, negative feelings towards Hoiberg started. I mean, I don't know. It seemed to me Joakim had earned a lot of goodwill here, honesty. He was nothing but honest, right? So when that stuff went down and the lies came out about him, he was benching him and he hadn't talked to him about it, right?
That was strange at the end. And I don't know if that was more Fred Hoiberg trying to make his first real decision as a head coach and kind of like saying, nah, this is my team, man. Like, I know you're the veteran here. You were the guy that everybody looks up to, but we got to do what's best for the team. And he didn't really come in and listen to Joakim. And that's just kind of how I feel. And that's been one of Fred's biggest weaknesses, is being able to find a relationship with these stars that may or may not have egos, and the guys that have been around a long time. Like, it's not just Joakim. It was Jimmy Butler. It was Dwayne Wade. And even though those guys will say now that they have a ton of respect for Fred Hoiberg, at the time they really didn't. And you kind of mentioned at the beginning of the show that it's like, yeah, a lot of these young guys may or may not be taking in what Fred Hoiberg is saying. And I think a lot of us are leaning to the probably not. So that's been, I think, Fred's biggest weakness out of anything he's done here in Chicago.
Well, and I also think it's going to, I mean, look, I know he has some sort of heart problem and he can't really be vocal and he's work, you know, which sucks. I want him to stay healthy. Obviously it's just basketball. So part of that is like, okay, this guy can't really fight for his players vocally, it seems. And then also to me, it seems like, can they even like, it seems like they don't have a relationship outside of basketball with this guy. You know, your coach is, you know, a father figure, someone you talk to, someone you communicate with. I can't imagine this guy sits in an office with Levine and has a chat about life. You know, it just seems like he is just X's and O's like a robot. And that's it. You know, at some point you need to have some sort of human contact with these guys. So I don't know. It just seems like he's way in over his head. I think he needs to go. I think he was probably really good at a college level where the kids have to listen to him. But as an NBA head coach where you need to command respect and also be a father figure at the same time. It's a fine line. Like, Brad Stevens seems to know how to do it at that young of an age, you know. That's what I look to. If you're going to go young, go someone like that. That's what I think.
Yeah, those two get a lot of comps these days just because, you know, young guys that got pulled from a college program that they did well to turn around. And I think, you know, the comp pretty much stops there as far as what Fred has done, yeah. what Brad Stevens has done in the NBA. All right, Pej, before we let you go, we want to ask you a couple of questions that are more, you know, centered around your career as an actor. And for me, I mean, I'm such a diehard Shameless fan. I think it's one of the best shows that's been around in the last, decade or two. You were great in that show as Cash. I'm curious, as like a guy who's not a Chicago native, but a Bulls fan, did you have any favorite moments while on set or shooting that show that to you spoke towards your, like, to what you knew to be, like, quintessential Chicago-ness?
Ooh. That's a good one. I mean, it's so weird for us because we shoot everything in Burbank and then come out to Chicago to shoot exteriors for 2 weeks.
Right, yeah.
But I will say one experience I had, which was terrifying. I was shooting a gun under the L train in Southside Chicago, and we had security real, real tight. Like, you know, it's, you know, very dangerous. And I was shooting that gun, and apparently – there had been a drive-by right across the street at the same time, which I don't know if we should talk about, but that was, I'm not saying that's native to Chicago, but that was a really something I vividly remember. It was so scary. Sure. And it made me realize, you know, on a serious note, like the dangers that people are encountering here with all the violence, which that was something definitely new to me, being from the Bay. And, you know, L.A. is dangerous in parts of it, but I never really experienced it like that. That was kind of scary. And that was like my first day here.
Right. Which was kind of the atmosphere of the show, right? It's about a family, you know, living back 100%. In the yard, Southie. That I'm sure that probably put things into a realistic perspective for you.
It definitely helped me shoot and work as an actor there. That was, definitely. But I don't know. That's a tough question for me. I think the only things I can say, I mean, for me, on that show particularly, you know, working with Bill Macy and Steve Howey and Emmy and all them, and Joan Cusack, I mean, that was a dream come true, you know. I'll never forget, we were watching the first episode at Bill Macy's house, and he pulls me aside, and he goes, "How fucking lucky are we?" I'm like, "What?" He goes, "I mean, we get to do this amazing show, live our dreams." I'm like, "You're Bill Macy. I know how fucking lucky I am, but geez." And he was so humble, and it just made me really, really, it was just such an experience, you know, learning from those guys and getting to work with them on a daily basis. And John Wells, genius, as everyone knows. So I'm not sure I answered your question, but yeah.
To follow up on that, just in 2018, you've done some pretty cool stuff that as a younger listener, is a young millennial here, I can kind of gravitate towards. How did you get hooked up with having a voice in Call of Duty Black Ops 4? And I see that you've done some Family Guy stuff. You've done some American Dad stuff. I just got to say, like, Family Guy, American Dad, two of my favorite shows. How did you get hooked up doing all of this stuff? And do you like doing stuff that's more towards the younger audience of video games? And maybe we need to find a way to get you hooked up into NBA 2K, because they've been putting a lot of celebrities in there. God. We need to get you hooked up there.
Now you're talking. I'll flip my shit if I'm in NBA 2K. You know, unfortunately for me, I don't play video games. I play Madden, and that's it. But even that, I don't do that often. But the Black Ops, I've done a couple Call of Duties. You know, I've worked with that casting office. They know my work, and they know the different voices I can do. So they would just call me in, and I was lucky enough to get involved in that pretty epic game. Family Guy and American Dad. I was on a show called Bones for a good long time, and the casting director of Bones is a dear friend of mine, and she also casts Family Guy and American Dad. So she, there was a couple of voices that she thought I would nail, and had me come in and do that for them. So I was just lucky enough through, I've been doing this for 15 years now. So, you have relationships and you meet people and people know your work after a while. So you get more opportunities that way. As far as doing things for younger audiences, I did a Netflix movie called Hope Springs Eternal, which is kind of like a teen dramedy. And growing up, I was a huge, huge fan of those Freddie Prinze Jr. movies.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
She's
yeah.
All That.
She's all that. Yeah.
So, yeah, man. I got to work with her. I told her the first time, I'm like, you have no idea. My friends at home are freaking out that I'm working with you, Rachel. And as am I. I'm just not letting it on. But, yeah, that stuff is really fun for me, especially now that I have a niece who's, almost a teenager, and she gets to actually see things I do sometimes. You know, she's not allowed to watch Shameless yet, or, Sneaky Pete, or even Bones because of the gore, and Empire is too adult. And, so, yeah, it's fun for me to be able to do that stuff and hopefully continue to do stuff like that. I love doing animation. I mean, voiceover work is probably the most fun I have as an actor, because it doesn't matter what you look like, So it's a matter of your voice and what you can put on. And it's so, so fun. I mean, those guys, I got to tell you, the regulars on Family Guy have the best job in the business, period.
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty fun job to be. Even I, just like when I got hooked on Family Guy, earlier on in my young adult years, I would just practice the different Family Guy voices and be like, I wonder if I can make these voices as good as the people that are doing them. And it is really a testament to great acting when people are able to do stuff like that. Speaking of geeking out as far as the people that you get to work with, Pej, we want to let you plug some of your upcoming work here before we get out of here. You mentioned that you have a movie project that's coming out soon with one Anna Kendrick. Please tell me about that.
Yeah, it's a comedy. Anna Kendrick, Dennis O'Hare, Danielle Brooks from Orange is the New Black, and myself. It's coming out next year. I don't know if you guys know, have you ever seen this movie called Four Lions? It won Sundance a couple years ago. It's the same director. It was Riz Ahmed's first movie. It's brilliant, and this guy did this is his second film, and I think people are gonna like it. It's really funny. It's like a satire again. I can't give out too many details because they're kind of nuts, but it should be out early next year. And then I have this new show for NBC that I'm excited about called The Village. That should start airing in January. And right now, currently, I'm doing Empire here in Chicago, which, as far as geeking out, I get to work with Wood Harris for all you Wire fans.
Oh, and, yes.
That's awesome.
Oh, man.
Avon Barksdale. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's not just Avon. It's also Bubbles, Andre Royo. So it's for me, it's like fandom geeking out, and I have to control myself around them. Like I told them this. I think if that show came out today, first of all, they'd be superstars. Second of all, they would have won multiple Emmys. It was just three or four years too early. But yeah, I think Wood Harris is one of the best actors out there, and I get to be on a show with him is kind of crazy.
That's awesome, man. Well, definitely all of our Locked On Bulls listeners, be on the lookout for NBC's The Village, as well as Pej continuing his work with Empire here in Chicago, and a movie with Anna Kendrick coming out next year. If you want to follow Pej on Twitter, he has a lot of fun sports fan stuff going on his Twitter account. Follow him there at Pej Vedat. And you can also follow him on Instagram at Pej Vedat. Pej, thank you so much for joining us here on Locked On Bulls, man. We really enjoyed chatting with you, and we hope you stop by the pod again sometime soon.
Oh, thanks, guys. I'm a big fan. I listen to every pod, so I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, the honor is all ours, man, and enjoy your time in Chicago.
Will do. Thank you, guys.
Well, that's going to about do it here for Locked On Bulls. Want to thank our guest, Pej Vedat, for jumping on the show with us. You can follow him on Instagram and Twitter at Pej Vedat. We are live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. Our text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. Drop us a voicemail. Drop us a text message. We're going to be doing mailbag tomorrow. So if you want to be on the show, want to be a part of the discussion, 331-979-1369 is the place to do that. Follow us on Twitter, at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Subscribe to the show, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. For Matt Peck, for Jordan Malley, and our guest, Pej Vidaj. Wow. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley, and our guest, Pej Vidaj. We are out, Bulls Nation. Have a wonderful day. We'll be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.